Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, good morning. That doesn't sound like a good morning. That just sounded like morning. Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Everybody just came alive. So I just spent the weekend in Indiana with my dad and Sean, and got rocked pretty good. God is so amazing. I went looking for answers, and I got them. It was awesome. And while we were there yesterday morning, David Page was doing sound, and then Pastor Jeff pointed out there was another young man back there by the name of Stuart doing sound. And it's awesome to see, you know, generations following behind their parents and what God is doing through them and stuff. It's awesome, isn't it? Generation to generation. So without further ado, I'm going to start. I don't know where God's going to go with this. I'm hearing most of this for the first time myself, so let's... there's this lady, and she had no money, and she was praying for groceries, and there was this atheist guy that lived next door, and he would sit outside her window and listen, and she'd be praying for God to fill the cupboards and fill the pantry, and he'd get out there, and he'd be sitting out there and getting madder and madder because she's asking God, and he's saying there's no God. And so finally one day he got fed up, and he went to the grocery store, and he bought all these groceries, filled up her cupboards, filled up enough to fill up the cupboards, fill up the pantries. He runs up, rings the doorbell, and he goes and hides in the bushes. She comes out, and she looks at it. She says, God did it. God did it. God filled it up, and finally, so she's there thanking God, and he jumps out. He says, ha-ha, God didn't do nothing. He said, I did it. He said, I did it to prove to you that there's no God, and I did it. And she just looked at him. She says, yep, God did it. God did it. And he's like, no, I did it. I went to the grocery store. I used my credit card. I paid for it. I put them in my car, and I brought them to your house. I did it. And she looked at him for a minute. She says, yep, God did it, and he made the devil pay for it. Jeremiah 29:11 says that, he says, for you, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Pastor Jay's been preaching on hope for the past so many weeks. And you know, everything that God does for us, he wants nothing but the best for us. You know, and it's so easy when we come to situations where we can lose sight of who our Father is and what he wants to do for us and get stuck in the moment. Instead, I remember a few years ago now, we were just coming into a youth conference, and depression hit me hard. And I mean, I was going to call Pastor Jay and say, I'm just not coming to the conference. I'm going to just stay at work and not take time off. And I just, man, it hit me hard. So finally, I was in the truck, and I'm riding around, and I said to the Lord, I said, I just need a song. And I said, I need something. And I started singing that. All of a sudden, that song came to me. I just started singing, Jesus, Jesus. And as I sang it, man, Holy Spirit just filled the truck. And I had to pull over on the side of the road. It came in so strong, I couldn't even drive. And it hit me so hard. And all of a sudden, I looked over. Jesus was sitting on the passenger seat. And I'm like, so I look over and I look ahead. I'm like, no way. And I look back and he's still there. So I had to reach over. And I had to make sure. I'm like, am I just seeing things? So I had to reach over and I touched his arm. And he looked at me. He says, Dorman, you know what I have planned for you. And with that, he was gone. And I'm like, you could have filled me in a little bit more. But man, I touched him. And you know what? In that moment, depression left. You can't touch Jesus and be depressed. It's not possible. I called Jay and told him what happened. And I was trying to get a hold of Erica, but she was counseling somebody. She was in a session. I couldn't get through to her, so I called the next best thing. I called the pastor and told him what happened. He's like, don't lay hands on anybody till you see me. Don't touch anybody. But God wants us to, you know, and it's not that I'm anybody more special than anybody else, but he showed up in that moment. And the depression left. And we had an awesome time at that youth conference. I can't remember which one it was. They were all awesome. But we had an awesome time. You know, and it's so easy when we get to these places in life where, you know, we think it's all done. But the Bible says that God will take what the enemy meant for harm and turn it for good. Amen? So sometimes we just need to hold on just for a little bit longer. And God brought me to, when we were in Indiana, Pastor Gary preached on it some. But I'm going to make sure not to use any of the stuff he used because Sean was there and he'll tell on me. But First Samuel 17, if you want to go there. You know, the Bible says that, you know, David was a man after God's heart. And, you know, leading up to it, it talks about how, you know, he was out in the fields and he was, you know, tending the sheep and a shepherd. But while he was out there, he was worshiping. And I'm here to tell you from experience, no matter what you're going through, if you worship through it, you'll get through it. Amen. Worship is amazing. I mean, like I know a pastor preached on it one time before that it was a scientific proven fact from a study at a university that depression and what was that other word? Gratefulness. Depression and gratefulness cannot stay in your mind at the same time. So when you're in that state and you start to worship, Holy Spirit doesn't leave enough room for anything else. He shows up. Amen? So, in 1 Samuel 17, I'm getting old. I got to take my glasses off to read now. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, leading up to it, it talks about how they were there and Goliath was coming out and he was threatening the Israel army. And he said, if anybody beats me, we'll be your slave. But if we beat you, you're going to be our slaves. So it says, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? He's talking to David. Surely he has come to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and to the men, and will give him his daughter and make his father's free in a house in Israel, which means he won't have to pay tax. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done? And he kept asking, and he was getting the same answer. So finally, his brother heard him speak, and Eliab's anger was kindled and against David, and he said, why have you come down here with whom you have left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and evil of your heart, for you have come to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? The little brother thing. What did I do wrong now? He probably didn't even realize at this moment what God was about to do, but he knew his spirit was not at ease. He heard this man cursing God and cursing Israel. But he kept asking until the king took notice, and the king said, bring him to me. And when David went into the king, he said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. You know, there was, well, his brother, you know, lots of times when you're coming into a place where God's getting ready to do something in your life and use you through something, the enemy's going to put people in the path that's going to try and discourage you. And I'm not talking about, I heard Mus Meyer say one time, he said, I'm not talking about the people in the world. He said, there's enough wet blankets in the church to put out fires. You know, how many times, you know, you see somebody about to do something, it's like, you know, just take your time, you know, get it away and let God do what he wants to do through him. Amen? And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight him, but you are a youth, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and there came a lion or a bear, and I took the lamb from the flock. I went after him, struck him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, struck him, and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them." So the lion and the bear was just a precursor to what God was going to do in David. It was just to prepare him for what was about to happen. And the Bible says that, you know, and it keeps going on to where finally Saul said, okay, I mean, can you imagine the risk that Saul took? Because if David would have lost this, they would have been all the Philistines' slaves. But for some reason, he said, okay, go ahead. And then he tried to put his armor on him. And David said, I can't do that. Well, the Bible says that Saul was a tall man, a head above the rest. So you imagine what his armor looked like on David? He said, I can't do this. This is not for me. And, you know, and that goes to show, you know, when we go into different things and we go into ministry, we don't have to do it like we've seen it done. You know, I don't have to minister the way Pastor Rod does or the way Pastor Jay does. I go in with what God's given me, the tools that God's given me to use them the way God's given me to use them. So he went out and he took, the Bible says that he took his slingshot and five stones, and he went out. And then the enemy started taunting him. He said, "What am I, a dog? That you send this little thing out here to fight me?" And David, he looked at him, he says, "Today, God will deliver you into my hands." And he told him what he was going to do. He said, "I'm going to feed you to the birds and the beasts of the field." And the Bible says that he ran at Goliath. You know, he wasn't just running at a giant. He'd already been anointed. He was going to be king. When he was running at that Goliath, when he was running at the giant, he was running to his kingdom. He was running into his kingdom because he was facing it head on. And, you know, there's so many times when we get to a place and we get to our Goliath and we turn and run. And I've done it. We've all done it. But we can't step into the next till we kill the Goliath. The giant has to die because that was standing in David's way. Because if the Israelites were took over by the Philistines, well, for one, David wouldn't have had a kingdom to take over. So David had to take him out of the way so he could step into the next. It was years down the road before he became king. But God was preparing him all this time. Goliath thought he was there to kill David. But God put him there to announce the next king of Israel. I heard somebody say the other day, David should have paid Goliath. Because he positioned David in a place to where he became a man of war. You know, Saul kills thousands, David kills tens of thousands. And that started a whole different way of running and hiding and trying to stay alive. But you know, he kept integrity the whole time. Remember when he went into the cave and he seen Saul sleeping and he cut off a part of his robe and then repented for even touching his robe. This is not my notes, this is a freebie, but how many times have we been guilty of that? Of touching the anointed, going home after Sunday and having the pastor for dinner, the assistant pastor for dessert. Wow, you guys got real quiet. Holy cow. I'm going to get off this real quick, but we really need to honor the anointed that God's put in our lives. Amen. You know, it's an awesome opportunity that we have every Christmas. We sow into our pastors. But you know what? We need to be building up our pastors and supporting our pastors and lifting them up in prayer and honoring them all year long, not just at Christmas. Because all year long, they're going to bat for us. I'm gonna leave that alone now. We'll go somewhere else. Jay told me to be good today, and I'm really trying to be good, and I'm going to be. But you know, God will bring us, there's lots of times we'll come to places where the enemy meant to harm us or kill us, and God has used it to promote us or elevate us or bring us to a next level. And I remember it was three years ago now that I was just getting back from Arkansas. And I almost died in Arkansas. I ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks down there. I had to come back here for a week. And there were so many times in there where, you know, God would show me things. But there was one, at one point in there, fear hit me. I thought, I called Erica. I thought that was it. I was never going to see her again. It gripped me hard. And my wife, instead of spending time on the phone and listening to me cry, she says, "Honey, are you worshiping?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, you need to worship. Go worship." And she went and called intercessors while I was worshiping. And I worshiped, and fear broke. And you know, there was only two nurses that actually came into my hospital room that weren't Christian. And I think by the time I left my hospital room, they were. If that's the reason I had to be down there, I'm okay with that. Because God used that situation to bring two more people into the kingdom. I mean, it hurt. It was a lot of pain. There was a lot involved. But God showed up through so much of that. It was incredible. I have no idea where I'm at in my notes, but you guys love me? That's all that matters. Oh, man. I went past two pages. This is good. We could be out of here in the next 15 minutes. How do you think? No. Thanks for praying for me this morning, Pastor Rod, because, I mean, there's so many things going on in here right now, and I'm trying to stay on, but I can't. I got to say something. I want you guys to meet somebody. Lila, can you come here for a second? I met this young lady. Come here. Hold on. I met this lady a couple weeks ago, and God ministered to her. And even this morning right now, God's breaking anxiety off you. And she's just messed right up right now, but you know what? She was told lies about not being beautiful. I want you to tell her this morning. We're going to embarrass her, but I want you to tell her this morning, by applause, how beautiful this young lady is. If you get nothing else from this church, I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are handpicked by God. You are a princess. I even see you right now. God is showing you right now as a little girl dressed up as a princess and dancing around your house. So this morning, God wants you to know that you're a princess because your daddy's the King of Kings. I know I'm embarrassing you and sending you out, but you know what? You are special. And the next time somebody says ever a negative word about you, you hold your head high and say, no, I'm a king's kid. Okay? Okay. God told me to do it, so it's his fault, but Bruce, you've come to situations in your life where if it wasn't for God, you'd have been destroyed. But you're an example. You faced most of our greatest fear when it comes to our children. But I see you as a pillar in the community, in this church. I mean, the wisdom that we could draw from you as young fathers is second to none. And I really hear God just wanted to just put it at both of you guys. Because, I mean, what you went through, I mean, would destroy some marriages. It has. But you guys held together and you held fast and you allowed God to heal. And now you're able to give testimony of what happened. So I just hear God this morning. He just wants to commend you with that. You didn't back down. You didn't let it destroy you. In fact, it brought you closer. So I just hear God saying this morning, he wants to commend you in that. If that's okay. Anybody wants to hear his testimony? It's his to tell, so go see him. Take him out for coffee. Actually, take him out for dinner, both him and his wife, and pay for it, and then they'll love it. I think he likes steak from the keg. It'll be good. Honor. That's how we honor in kingdom, is with gifts, right? In Mark 5, go to Mark 5. That's the wrong one. I got markers in here so I can stay focused. Mark 5 talks about the lady, the woman with the issue of blood. And it says that she was 12 years dealing with this. 12 years. It said that she'd exhausted all of her finances. She went to doctors and only got worse. And it says a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had suffered with a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and spent all she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, came up behind him in a crowded area and touched his garment. For she said, some translations say that she thought to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. So for 12 years, she suffered with this. And then she had a thought. You know, everything that we do, we say, we believe first starts with a thought. She had a thought that if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And the Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment and he felt the power leave his body. Can you imagine getting hit with that much power from Jesus that he felt the power leave his body? And it says that immediately she sensed that the blood had dried up and she was healed. Now she had to go through what she had to go through to get there. You know, she was, for one thing, she was not supposed to be there. So so she's crawling through this crowd and they didn't have paved roads back then. So there was a lot of things in the streets that we'd really rather not crawl through. But she didn't care. She had one thing on her mind, was I got to get to Jesus. I need my miracle. And the Bible says that he turned and finally she said, it was me. The Bible says that I seen a clip from The Chosen. He got down and he spoke to her and he said, daughter. There's nowhere else in there where he calls anybody daughter. But she had to suffer for 12 years and fight and probably come close to death. I mean, she would have been exhausted, low iron and everything. But she fought through to get it to where Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, called her daughter. And it's wrote down for everybody to read ever since. Can you imagine being in that place where society's thrown you aside? Nobody wants nothing to do with you. But he stopped on his way to heal a little girl. Call her daughter. Isn't that amazing? She didn't give up. She kept going after what God had for her, and she went for it. Is that you back there, Zach? Is she sleeping on your shoulder? No, okay. All right. I didn't know. Just resting her eyes. Just resting her eyes. A few weeks ago, Pastor Claude had you come up and pray. And, man, I had a hard time staying in my skin over there. Holy Spirit dropped. It was amazing. You remember that, Pastor Claude? I remember when I first found out that you had cancer in your lungs. Man, I went after God for about 3-4 days in the truck. You know what Holy Spirit told me? Come back next week, I'll tell you. No, Holy Spirit said to me as plain as day, this will not kill him. Church, that was a chance for a shout. Because he's still here, and we're all behind, but Holy Spirit said, this will not kill him. But we got to see him a few weeks ago stand up here and pray, and man, it was like a blanket went over the church. Holy Spirit showed up. Zach, don't stop praying. Not just for yourself. Don't stop praying for people, because there's an anointing on you. And that day, God showed it up. There's an anointing on you for healing. I can't wait to see what God's going to do 30 years down the road with you. Come on, church, 30 years down the road. Let's see what, I can't wait to see. I was in here one time and I looked over and I kind of had to shake my head because I'm like, he's not that old. And I seen a guy standing there with grandkids. God's got our plan, got our days planned. This is just going to be a testimony down the road. Amen? I'll give you one more, Peter. I'm a lot like Peter, I guess, in a lot of ways. I put my foot in my mouth quite a bit. And Mom, that was not that funny. Maybe I shouldn't have had my mom come. I don't know. But he said, you know, he was sitting around with Jesus and everybody else bragging. I would die for you. And then when it come a chance to defend who he was, and he denied it. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And I mean, I can just imagine Peter going, whatever. No, I'm not. That'll never happen. And the Bible says the third time that he did, Jesus looked at him and their eyes met. And the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. That could have been a place where a turning point in Peter's life where he could have said, you know, I messed up too bad and just went and either done what Judas did or just given up on ministry. But he didn't know that Jesus had him scheduled to preach 51, 53, whatever days later, 3,000 people were going to get saved. And carry enough anointing that a shadow would heal people when he walked by. You know, technically, according to what the world would say, I shouldn't be up here today. 16 years ago on Friday, I graduated from a drug rehab. And I mean, it was just a piece of cake after that. Just, but God has brought me to a place where I've got such an amazing wife and kids, and God can use anybody. All we got to do is have a willing heart. And, you know, Peter, and it was an example of that, to where, you know, Jesus told him, and he would get just, what about that guy? Jesus said, never mind your own business. Let me do what I'm going to do through you. You know, as church, as Christians, you know, let's not look from side to side and see what we're missing out on and what they're getting, the person next to us. You know, when we get to a heart where we rejoice, where we see somebody else growing and God doing things through them and stuff, well, then God can bring us to a place where he can do more with us. And, you know, I really got rocked this weekend. God, it was awesome. I've got a lot of big decisions to make. I'm actually going to ask you as a church to really just keep me in prayer. We've got a lot of big decisions to make. I know God's going to do something through it. I can't wait to give the testimony. I'm not even going to tell you what it is right now, so you can wait and see what God does. because I don't know what he's going to do yet. So, but I wanted to share this with you this morning because I really believe that, you know, we've come through this whole COVID thing and we've come through this and now we're coming out the other side where now we're in a recession and things are, and everybody, man, it's getting terrible. But you know what? The Bible says that my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So for us to get down in the dumps and stop believing, I mean, he got us through to here. Why wouldn't he bring the rest of the ways? Amen? I mean, you know, it's the children of Israel. I mean, how many times did they want to string Moses up because they come to one more? I mean, you just come through an ocean on dry land, and now you're worried about something else. Like, give me a break. And you know, we read the Bible, and people think is, you know, well, that was then. But it also says in here that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he did then, it's still available to us now. We just got to tap in and get it. Amen? I'm just listening right now. I'll be right back with you. We're having a moment. You know, this. When you go into Exodus, it talks about how, you know, the children of Israel were held in bondage, and this is something that God's been showing me lately. There's a Pharaoh wanted to start killing all the children. And then when Jesus came, they started killing children. Any great big thing that God has done, there's been a massacre before him. I really believe that prophetically, God's getting ready to do something. But now not only is the enemy trying to kill all the kids, now he's trying to kill all the seniors too with this whole assisted suicide thing, because he doesn't want the promises being born, and he doesn't want the wisdom there to guide it. So he's trying to get it on both ends. Does that make sense? So I really believe that God is getting ready to do something huge. I really believe he's getting somebody to do something huge here. There's been a shaking and a quaking, and it's been, for me, I'm not the pastor, so it's been fun to watch, but I'm not that bad, Pastor Gary. I've prayed my pastor through it. It's good. He's great. But we're getting ready to see God do something. And the Bible says that these signs will follow them that believe. So we're talking about miracles, healings. These things are supposed to follow us. So, and I believe God is getting ready to position us into a place to where we start seeing it in the marketplace more and more and more to where, and you know what, I pray for God to give me that boldness all the time. God, when I'm somewhere and I see something, give me the boldness to go after it. To where I don't care if I'm in Walmart or Sam's Club or wherever, if I see somebody that needs prayer, if I need somebody that needs deliverance, that you would just give me the courage to go after it, to pray with them. Dad did it yesterday with a lady, and she turned out to be a Christian. It worked out real good, but, you know, I just really believe that as a church, that if we could get on one, because on the day of Pentecost, it says they were all in one accord, unity. So if we as a church body come together with one thing in mind, you know, Jay's been preaching on hope. I mean, we have to have hope to expect the next thing that God wants to do. Because the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if we have to keep that hope, believing what God is going to do, and then go after it. Smith Wigglesworth said, if God's not going to move, I'm going to move God. You know how you move God? By faith, expectation, worship, spending time with him. Because when you show up and you got God with you, something's got to change. The situation has to change. We are supposed to be a light when we go into a place. Not joining with anyways. But just be a light to where we go. And you know, the Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, we bring the word with us. We bring Jesus with us. We bring Holy Spirit with us. What more do we need? What more do we need? If somebody's got an answer for that, let me know. God's got it all worked out. So when we come to a situation like David did and the lady with the issue, I mean, we can go through the Bible story after story after story and show God's goodness. And we can go through here and testimony after testimony after testimony of what God has done, who God has healed, who God has set free. But let's not forget when we go home and look at the situations and look at it, our finances and what we have to do through the week. Let's not forget who's going to get us through that. Because I know with me, my life before surrender was a mess, a huge mess. But I know since I've given in, I mean, it's been a lot better. It hasn't been perfect yet. I don't want to be perfect because the last perfect guy didn't nail to a cross. I don't want to go through that. But I really believe that God can bring us to places to where we can come in here on Sunday and have testimonies with each other. And this guy had a rough week, but this guy had God really brought him through, and he can give a testimony to him and raise his faith enough so that the next week when he goes out, he can have victory. Amen? Let's not lose sight of hope. I mean, we've heard it for weeks now, but let's not lose sight of hope to where we get down in the dumps and forget. I mean, I read the back of the book, we win. We've already won. So I just want to encourage you with that this week, next week. Just allow God. Stop. I really gotta learn because I'm one of those guys that I get a thought and I'm gone. You know, squirrel, and there I am. Stop and allow God. Okay, what do you want me to do with this? I heard somebody say one time, he said, me and my wife won't even change the curtains without asking God what color to put up. Let's allow God to be a part of every part of our life. Because I know I'm guilty of it too, of holding just something back that I got to take care of or I got to control. But, I mean, if we let God have everything, where would we be? Does that make sense? Amen? Honey, do you have anything to add to this? You do. Look at her. Come here, babe. Right. I know. She's got something. It's awesome. I did it at the end because if you had started, I might not have had a chance. So
here. I mean, it kind of goes through the whole message. He said, I might call you up today. And I was like, oh, God. Okay. I want you to give a word. And I mean, obviously, usually God speaks to us personally first. And what he's kind of really been sharing with me is prayer and discernment. And I'm like, okay, what's that? And it, like, I know that is, but God has called us to pray in a deeper way. And it reminded me of lately, as we see, just as he was saying, David saw the giant. There's a lot of giants that I can see around me in the world. And there could be giants of missed opportunities or different things that you know God is calling you to do, but you don't want to do it. And there's things that God is positioning, and when those things come, I'm a feeler. I don't know how many feelers are in there, but I mean, I'm a person of deep emotions, and we all feel. And as a counselor, I'm taught to teach people how to feel, to say, not teach them how to feel, but to recognize what they feel, but not to live in those feelings. not to live in those thoughts, not to live in the circumstances. And I'm grateful for that story of David where he didn't allow what other people were feeling, because sometimes who you hang around with will affect even your own mood. It will affect how you see things. It will affect whether it's positive or negative. And so there's just been challenges or opportunities where God's like, I see that you are a feeler. I created that heart to feel. And I see that there's opportunities to use that, not to just stay in what the negative, what you see that's going wrong, not to stay in the place of being frozen in fear like the rest of the army was, but to take the opportunity and speak and pray and to discern when that time is. Now, there is, and I don't know what it is, but there is an opportunity in everywhere you go to be offended. And that's one thing God has been really sharing with me. It's like, I'll give you a little, without giving any kind of like description of it, I have a friend that I'm very, very close with, and we talk every day. We pray every day together. But something started to happen where I started feeling some things, and she was feeling some things. Next thing you know, we weren't talking for almost a week. And I knew the enemy was in that. I just knew it. I discerned that. I could see the setup and the plot. But I was like, why do I have to be the one to go and confront this? Why do I have to be the one to break out and actually share what God is showing me, not to be offended, to love, but we need to get to the root of this so this friendship can grow deeper. And so I've seen that, and that was like, so I prayed and I prayed, and finally I'm like, we gotta talk. And out of that, it grew. And God really used that wisdom that he was just saying, okay, sometimes just let her feel. You share what you feel, but that's not the end result. We need to have that discernment to know what God is saying and doing and how he's going to use that opportunity to make things grow. And then so out of that, I was like, so I was getting ready this morning and he was like, okay. I'm like, God, I got nothing. So that's what he was sharing. And then I was like, okay, I need something to back it up to know it's you. So he gave me, I got a word, a scripture, and it says not even sure where it's found because I took a screenshot of it and I forgot to put the title. And it says, Paul is saying, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And it was like, thank you, God, because he wants us to have knowledge, discernment, and be filled with love in all of that. Doesn't matter about, you know, right or wrong. Dorman was saying, his brother said, so what are you here? Like, why are you here? They were offended that David was there. They seen that there was something inside of them that wasn't right. And they tried to place their offense on him. And there's a lot of times in this church, like in any church, we can be so offended by what someone says. We can walk out the door. That person didn't say hi to me. That person didn't, you know, whatever. We can have opportunity, but God is like, with love and discernment, bring it all to God. Show the fruits of the Spirit. Allow it to grow. And, you know, like even we can battle, not at all, right? Yeah. We can battle it out. And it's not about me being right or him being right. It's about, usually I am right. No, it's not about him being right or it doesn't even matter anymore. At the end of the day, it's like, did we listen to God? Do we allow God to use it to sharpen each other? Because out of that, God wants to bring fruit. And he says, like, bring hope. If we can work within our own relationships, isn't that bring hope into the family? Of God? Doesn't that bring hope into the world? How are we different from the world? you know, calling us up higher to walk in that love, using discernment, when to keep this shut, not to be right, when to pray, when to reach out in love, be the first one to make the first move. And so although I did not like that experience I had with my friend, because the first thing my flesh did is I'm a flight person and I want to run and I just want to shut down. Even though I'm a feeling person, I don't always like what I feel, but I had to give it to God and say, okay, God, change it, use the opportunity and build something out of it.
I'd rather listen to her than me. But so this week, as we go, did Gabriella just say me too? This week, as we leave here, let's look at every circumstance as an opportunity for God to show off in us. To where, I mean, people around us would say, obviously, God was in that. You know, it's just, I don't want to be seen. I want God to be seen in me. So let's just do that this week. Ask God for an opportunity. Ask God for a Goliath to conquer. And then run after it. Run straight for it. And kill it. Cut his head off. Be a champion. God's champion. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.